Happy holidays from Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a beautiful and wonderful Christmas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM, and today is, I don't even know the days. No, it's Friday. Today is Friday. It's odd to have the holiday and then you come back to work on Friday. But today is Friday, and it's January 2nd. It's the second day of the new year. It's Friday, January 2nd. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Today, we're going to have an open line Friday. That means you can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about, right? And see if you get some commentary from me. I'm going to actually pitch out one or two topics that I want to have a conversation about. What is, I wouldn't say bothering me, just that it's a trending conversation that I think that Bahamians should have commentary on. I want to hear your comments on, so I can throw those things out. There's a number of things that is trending on social media at this beginning of the year. I want to extend Happy New Year to the general public and the listening audience. Make sure we start this new year right. You know, if you say something inspirational, you know, something profound, you know, not the same old, same old. But I'm excited about this new year. I think that this is a new year of change. This is a new year of making things better. This is a new year of challenge. That you're supposed to challenge the status quo and say, man, we're doing things for Bahamians. We're doing things better, bigger and better, right? There should be some consideration for things. But like I said, it's an open line Friday. And that means you can call in. The number is 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And if you're calling from the Family Islands, of course, you can call 242-300-5720. You can call that number and join in the conversation. Junkanoo was yesterday. It's now the end of the Junkanoo year. Even though it's the beginning of the year, it's the end of the Junkanoo year. Both parades has already gone. You know, earlier, around circa April, May, June, or August, there was kind of debate on whether we were going to have Junkanoo in the first place. Right? And we concluded that Junkanoo belongs to the Bahamian people. Right? That was the debate. That's what caused all the controversy, actually, on who owns the national Junkanoo parade. There was a debate where it said that the Junkanoos own the national Junkanoo parade and not the spectators, not the Bahamian people in general, not the investors in Junkanoo to make it come to fruition, but the Junkanoos. And if whatever they say goes. If they want to perform, they don't have to. They could spend the money without any accountability. They can tarry, but the conclusion was that government couldn't have no say, and that's where there became an angst, and government put the goblet down and said, bang, the Junkanoo belongs to the Bahamian people, and now we know that. We know that not only one grouping can host a Junkanoo parade. There's more than one woman who can born a leader. Or born an entity to manage the parade. And now we know that the parade belongs to the Bahamian people. But I want to like hear your opinion on the both parades, right? The Boxing Day parade and, of course, the New Year Day parade in terms of the production, right? I'd like to know some recommendations, right? I want to talk about Junkanoo in general, what Junkanoo means to the Bahamian people. If you still believe that Junkanoo belongs to the Junkanoos and not the Bahamian people in general for the national parade, right? You can always call in too and re-explain, rehash your opinions on that. I see that the Way Forward Valley Boys
See, now you got to remember the names. Came six, and they came second in the Boxing Day and six in the New Year's Day Parade. I see the Valley the world-famous Valley Boys came, one, two, three, four, fourth and third, I think, inside the fourth in the, I'm trying to remember the numbers, fifth in the Boxing Day and fourth, numbers are mixed up. Third in the New Year's Day celebration. I have the numbers down in it. I'm just trying to go on memory. But New Year's Boxing Day was spectacular. You know, normally they will say all of the Jonkin' parades, when you compare them, right, the Boxing Day parade normally be the big grand one. And the New Year Jonkin' parade tend to be a little demure. Right, not a number of behemoths showing up, and the bleachers tend to be empty. The production tends to be lackluster, but definitely, the New Year Day parade seemed to have been the better one, the more competitive one. All of the Jonkin' groups came out with blood in the eye. It was beautiful to see. It was beautiful to see the costumes, the colors, the vibrant life and energy. And that is something that we need to have a discussion on and celebrate also that on New Year's Day, perhaps this energy that happened on New Year's Day will continue as it go from strength to strength. So I wanted to give commentary and say kudos to the NJC for their production. Right, and we now move on, and now we do some SWOT analysis on how to improve Jonkin'. I assume the other entities out there will be doing the same thing. I know there's still talks about having a third major Jonkin' production, and we'll see if that comes to any fruition as they plan that in the background or quietly for that. On Boxing Day or during the Boxing Day parade, I came across some tourists. I'm not sure if I mentioned to you, but I tend to deal with high-end tourists, right? Millionaires here and there. So catering them tends to be more discerning, right? This clientele tends to demand a lot. So getting them VIP tickets to sit down and experience Jonkin'. And make sure that they're comfortable, right? And around our local celebrities, of course, and they pinpoint who's you. After the parade, the lady actually commented that she enjoyed it. It was different. She made mention of the laps, but she understands the street parade. But she made commentary about one of the group's theme, right? And one of the theme was like a Native American concept, and I remember having a conversation with her and say, "You all Americans different in terms of how we interpret things." And she said that she interpreted it as a blackface. What do you call it when you misappropriation of people's culture? And I never looked at it like that and say, "Well, and we have groups that have Native American names. The theme of Native Americans and Indians tend to come up a lot in our Jonkin' parade. We even do Chinese, and Africa at times too. And we tend to depict them." And she was saying that in where she's from, people may interpret it as appropriation of people culture. It would be frowned upon. Though even though she enjoyed seeing the depiction, she was uneasy enjoying that. And I'm not even sure if we're on that level yet inside the country where when we pick themes, right, we consider other people's culture and how it impacts them seeing themselves, right? So I said I would mention it on the radio. I'm not sure if anyone else would see it that way. But I said, I can appreciate that, right? Another topic that is trending on social media that I wanted to hash out. Pastor, I'm not sure if he's a bishop yet, Pastor Jamal Bryant. I'm going to read a comment on what he said recently in response. And then for persons who are not familiar with Pastor Bryant, he's the leader of one of the biggest black churches. Is that such a thing in the United States? Black church? Black Christian church? I think that's a thing, where he said the black church. He's the leader of one of the largest black churches. Thousands of members are involved in his church, right? I think he just took over from one of those prominent pastors, right? And just recently, he and his wife attended some type of fundraisers for, I think, a university, right? It's who's who amongst the black elites who attended this, and of course other people. And they were raising money for this fundraiser. They made tens of thousands of dollars, real money for this, right? And he dressed up in his tuxedo, looked sharp, right? And his wife dressed up in a beautiful gown, a bodice-type gown. She's a shapely, attractive woman, voluptuous, but she's very attractive, pretty. But this particular dress, frock, my mother would call it, the bodice was, you know, those type of materials that make it look like skin, because she's brown skin, light skin, right? And the material it's like a not sheer, it's like a skin tone, it's like a tights, right? And the sequins draw attention to various parts of her body, right? It draw attention to her nice parts here and there, right? I saw the dress and say, wow. I didn't know who she was at the time, right? But I saw the dress and say, wow, this woman naked. But of course, later on, you found out she wasn't naked. It was one of those materials that looked like skin. And it, like I said, it drew attention to certain parts. And I remember seeing it on social media and I zooming in to check to make sure if I was seeing what I was seeing, but I wasn't seeing what I was not seeing. But I did see something, right? And I said, okay, I guess she's one of those rappers. Only rappers and those people is where that. And then I later found out that, no, it wasn't a model five fashion or celebrity type thing. She was what the Baptist people call first lady. She's a Christian lady. Well, I don't know if she's Christian or not. But I assume that since the husband is the head of a church, that she must be Christian, right? I just assume. But that's just me assuming. Things would be different in the United States, right? And she wore the dress. The dress was sexy. It's a sexy dress. It's a nice dress. And I can say I'm not taking away from the dress. The dress looks nice. But there was a lot of pushback from secular and Christian people in general, say this is not a modest dress at all, that this dress drew too much attention, right? Especially in particular areas where the sequins highlighted. It drew too much attention. And there was an online debate. It became from a national debate among the black community, the black church members, and it extended to wider America, who's familiar with that. Then it moved on to, of course, the world, because we know America exports culture. We are attracted to what is happening there. And, of course, Bahamians are talking also about the dress and the fashion of first ladies. And Mr. Bryant, in response, and he said he's defending his woman. And I said, man, you go and defend your good woman, your good wife. And that's what men should do, right? He defended, and I want to read what he said. And mind you, I didn't give any commentary about the wife's dress, because I said Americans different from us. They different from us as a people, right? So I said, Mr. Jamal Bryant is flamboyant anyway. I'm used to flamboyant Christians. And they're charismatic pastors too. So I'm used to that. And I said, I won't judge his wife. I'm going to let his church members and that community do the talking. But Pastor Bryant responded. He responded and I said, I don't like this response. But let me read that response to you and tell me what you think. Tell me what you think. I think it was unbecoming of a pastor. Let me see if I could get it right now. Up. He started off, and mind you, it's an excerpt of it. He said, the people who complained about his wife's outfit, right, are insecure, jealous, petty, small-minded, because you never been nowhere and never been exposed to nothing. I bought that dress. I wanted a wife that I can rush home to, that I wanted to be excited to see. When we walk in there, I said to her, shit the fast, watch yourself. And that's again from Reverend Jamal Bryant. It's his response that took me aback, right? And now mind you, I didn't expect him to recant or accept the criticism. No, I didn't. But I didn't expect that he would make fun of other Christian people who were concerned or conservative Christians and say, what do you call them? They are insecure because of what his dress, his wife was wearing, that they only complained because they were jealous and small-minded, right? I didn't expect that to come. He was very sassy. The reverend seemed sassy, and I come across some sassy reverends too. You know? I just saying, there's a lot of men nowadays who seem to be sassy, and the good reverend seemed sassy. And I'm not sure if his response was appropriate. This text says, good morning, Mr. Nuri. I'm not impressed at all with our Junkanoo parade. The long wait, the chaos, the people walking up and through the parade. We have major improvements to do, but we need leadership to take this culture to the next level. Why is it that we cannot incentivize the Junkanoo like Walt Disney did with Mickey and Minnie? Make a decision and move the parade from Bay Street or build a cultural village to host it. And I hear you, no texter. A number of Junkanoos don't want that. The practitioners don't want what you're saying. When you're saying this cultural village and moving it from Bay Street, who are you moving it for? Are you moving it for Bahamians? Because Bahamians want it on Bay Street. So I would challenge you, text, and I want you text back. Who are you moving it for? Because Junkanoo is for Bahamians primarily. You know, it's not for tourists. Tourists come and join in to whatever we have there. I do agree with you that there is some long waits. I saw a critique about that complaint by a culturalist who said, no, it takes a while for them to get charged up. And now the Bahamian spectators need to appreciate the rituals that they have to do. And that rituals will cause delay. I'm not familiar with the rituals, but if there are rituals that would cause delay, I believe someone needs to sensitize me for it. And I would say sensitize the texter too, to say, hey, texter, it takes a while to get on Bay. But when we come to perform. So perhaps we need to just accept that there'll be some wait, right? They say a lot of people walking up and through the parade. Bahamians been complaining about that for a while. Them group marshals, them photographers are always walking through it. But the people say they need group marshals and need more group marshals. For I personally think the groups are too big. I think the Saxons is too big of a group. You see the valley split in two, and they're still huge. I think Colors is too big for a B group, right? I sincerely believe some of the groups are too big. And I see you calling me coming to you right now, and they said that we need to incentivize Junkanoo like Walt Disney. I would need to understand what you mean by that. To pay money, make it into a theme park, make it less Jermaine, make it less Africanized, make it more commercial. Is that what you mean? When you say a cultural village, do you mean to make it more pristine, make it more palatable for tourists and not necessarily for Bahamians? So these things need to be hashed out exactly. What do you mean? And then we got to find out whether we want that. Do we want the pristine? I think they need to ban bleachers altogether. Nobody needs to sit down. We have all of us standing up. Even if the Prime Minister won't come there, he needs to stand up amongst us in the crowd. I know that's not feasible. I'm just saying. Let's go to the caller there. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. We have an open line today. So we can talk about anything you want to talk about. But some things are trending. And I said, hey, let me bring up some of these topics. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, yeah. Good morning, C.A. And good morning to is that the basketball player, LeBron?
No, I'm inside here by myself today.
Oh, okay. Happy New Year to you, man.
Blessings to you. Happy New Year to you.
To you and your family in this upcoming New Year. Listen, I was listening to that commentary with the pastor. What did the pastor tell his wife?
The pastor said that he purchased that dress. That his wife is a beautiful woman and he wanted people to look, right? So he purchased that dress and the sheer outfit, the tightness of it, because he wants his wife to look a particular type of way.
Yeah, but see, he wants his wife to look a particular type of way for the world, to gawk at, to lust after.
That's what the Christian man tell me. That's what he told the world. He went on his pulpit and address his church. And when he said that, remember his church vote, how vote 3 to 5,000 people per service, right? When he said that, the crowd, the church members erupted with cheers. Hallelujah and praise God, of course. No? And that women need a dress but to be alluring to their husband in public.
In the bedroom, in the bedroom. Not in the outside, we as Christians, the Bible speaks about modesty and speaks about not, seeking to bring attention to yourself with jewelry or what I think Peter said, braided here or broided here and so on and so forth. It's not about us. The Bible talks about holiness, God, and it's the separation between holy and unholy. And the standard, God has a standard, We are watering down the standard that God set. Men want to set their own standard and want God to accept what they present, just like Abel, God, this is all I got. Take it or leave it all. People say, come as you are, but all your breasts, with a fella saying breast, leg, and ties, all of them showing it. Oh, man, come on, man.
Let's talk about that, right? The Bible does say, come as you are. Do you believe women, men need to make an effort when they come to church? Like now, when I was younger, when they said, come as you are, they said if you were on the street, right? And if you need prayers,
right,
you just come. You don't got to go home. You come as you are, whatever it is, because you come in to get salvation. Yeah. But if you make an effort, you home now, and I have to choose what to wear. Should I look for the modest clothes and say, man, I can be comfortable, man. I can wear this mini. And mind you, at these churches, they have women who wear minis now. I mean, they got to put the shawl around their legs, right? It's a norm now.
Yeah, but, you can come as you are, but you shouldn't stay as you are. Because even the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature.
Mm.
The old man that you bought, okay? You are now, he said, put off the old man and put on the new man. Mm. And different now. You're different now, man. People should see that there's something different about you. You can't come in the same old thing because even though people say, I'm not living for the world, but it is the world that says, most of the time, it's the Bible says that they were called Christians first at Antioch. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because the people saw that these people, they had a Christ-like spirit. They were different from all the others. There has to be a separation. You can't tell the Christian from the world. You can't tell the world, the church in the world, the world in the church.
Getting confusing now. They said in the last days it'll be like this.
There has to be a separation. Jesus said, his kingdom is the kingdom of God and it's the kingdom of the devil. Okay? And he's called us out. He's called us out of the world. System out of the world. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, right, by renewing of your mind, and to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And some of the things that people are perpetrating as, Christian, you know, I don't think there's a God. He ain't pleased with that, you know. These people.
I hear you.
I saw some, I think at one function they were having, one secular functions, and I mean some of the so-called women and the men, I mean the dressing, somebody, I mean C.C. Winant was the only one who kept her standard. The rest of them, they just threw caution to the wind, and it was terrible, man. If you're a child of God, you need to present yourself.
I hear
somebody
you.
As a child of God. Amen?
Amen. You're preaching today. I appreciate you calling, caller. Thanks again. I've seen some things from men and women. I mean, I see some men with some pants that's so tight, you could tell what they eat yesterday, because everything's showing. Let's go to the next caller here. Let me read this thing again from James Jamal Bryant. He said, if you don't have nobody you excited about, trade that bugger in and find you somebody that Negroes can talk about. He's talking about his wife again. And he's talking about you trade your current wife who nobody I don't know. Just a big time pastor, no. A number of behemoths. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. God in Radio AM.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, sir. Hey.
Good morning. How you doing?
Happy New Year. I am well. And yourself?
I'm trying to smile, you know. It's a new year, and so I'm pushing forward.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Now, I was a little concerned when I heard you read the statements from Pastor Bryant. Nobody of 22,000 members.
22,000?
22,000 members. Took over from Bishop Eddie Long.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And
then we remember who Eddie Long was, right? And what all happened with Eddie Long, right? And then we get a new head, and you say you're watching and say, man, this church challenge. But you see, this is what I want you to appreciate. When he spoke and gave that speech, right? The church members erupted. They got excited and start cheering, hallelujahing. They saw nothing wrong. So I say, perhaps it's you, me, who have the problem.
Oh, we don't have the problem. We have some church members over here like that too.
Mm-hmm.
They put their leaders in the place where God should be in their heart. So if the preachers say, and Jonah swallowed the whale, they shout and say amen.
Mix right up. Say, Jonah have a big mouth.
See, exactly. When you're in leadership, my brother, that's different from the average person down there in the pew. And if a young woman come to church or a part of the church wear something like that, I would call on the side and say, sis, I don't think that's appropriate. And I'm talking about leadership. But when you talk about the first lady, come on, man, there should be some kind of responsibility. Because if you don't recognize that you represent the kingdom of God, think of the ministry itself. You represent the ministry. And the pastor say, I buy that for my wife. Man, some of us Christians, we buy all kind of things for our wife to wear in the bedroom.
Mm. No, he bought that for her to wear that outside.
That's
he want everybody to see.
That shouldn't be. You want people to see this and see that about your wife? No. Shun the very appearance of evil. And your caller just now, he gave the quote of the day. See, you should write that down. He said, you could come as you are, but you shouldn't stay as you are. But I can carry that quote for the rest of the year.
I like that.
If you look in the Bible, the Israelites were saying before they had the king, they tell God, we want a king like the other nations. And that's the problem with Christians today. We won't be like them other people. The unsaved, we won't dress like them. We won't dance like them. We won't talk like them. But God say, come out from among them and be separated. You mentioned with guys in church and wearing these pants sucked to them. And come on, man. We trying to be too close to the world. And I one of them who feel like the woman should have her hair wrap up. She can't speak in church. The man always should be in coat suit and this and that. No. I'm one of them holy rollers. But I truly believe there should be a distinction, a separate. We should be able to recognize, okay, that one and that, just by the way they carry themselves, the way they dress. And as a leader, as a pastor, I'm kind of disappointed in him for saying, you know, and then you can tell me to throw away my wife if I'm, what are you doing?
He said, trade her in. get a new model.
So just because mine ain't look like yours, I should trade mine in? Come on, man.
That's how people get be on their second wife. That's how Christian men is get on their second wife.
That ain't God. And I'm kind of disappointed. And I would say to you and your listeners, let's pray for the bishop.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he need deliverance. And his wife need deliverance because I truly believe, like the late Rodney Manka used to say, she is safe just for wearing that. Even if he bring that to me, you want me to wear this where? No, man, I get rid of this here in our house.
Mind you, I like the dress. I zoomed in. I don't know why, but I like fashion. So I had to see the sequence and stuff like that. But I did zoom in.
Yeah, if I didn't see it because I've been outside, I probably would have zoomed in too and tell myself it was for fashion.
Yeah. Pray for me. That's what it is. New Year. Pray for me.
You have a good one, buddy.
Definitely. I wonder if we can rebuke people still. Do they rebuke pastors still? Is it possible to rebuke pastors? Anyway, I can read this text and go to a quick commercial break. It said, morning, CA. As a woman, I am appalled at the level of immodest dressing by women nowadays. I watch videos where both non-Christian black and white men complain about the way women dress now. I had to agree. Nothing seems to be prized anymore. Just a new age. Let's go take this commercial break. Guided Radio AM. We'll be right back.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328 tips or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300 tips or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everybody, from Talking Heads right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. See you in the new year.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. And this text says, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. This must be the new norm for 2026, where first wives of pastors dress up like streetwalkers. Let me correct it and said it wasn't a streetwalker outfit. No, if she was going to a, what do they call it, BET Award, one of those musical type things, right, where everybody dress sexy and provocative, the dress would be appropriate. It's a sexy dress. It wasn't a street walker dress. It's just suggestive. it was definitely shows her figure and it alluded to certain parts, whatever it is. So it wasn't a street walker dress. I just don't believe it's appropriate for a first lady for that position. And remember, that's a Baptist term. And then again, in American church, black church, I'm not sure if they are all born again type Christians where the lifestyle is changed. They motivational speakers, maybe, and they appreciate Jesus. You see the word there? They're committed to Jesus. They appreciate him, and they serve him that way, right? So this text says, I'm sorry for his congregation. He's going to lead a lot of people down under. Mind you, Mr. Jamal Bryant is progressive. I don't necessarily think he's one of those pastors who try to convert souls to be born again, but he makes you feel good, you know? Yeah, he makes you feel good and, like, give you hope, right? This text says, Jamal Bryant and churches like that have a form of godliness, but denying the source thereof. And I guess that's subjective, but I understand you, Texter. You know, it's God look like he passed there, but it doesn't look like he necessarily dwells within the halls, right? So provocative dresses are never appropriate for women of God. The man said he selected his dress himself. And I saw another picture of his ex-wife. Some people have two wives. And she also wore a similar dress. And I said, Lord, you think he buy that too? And if he did buy that also, you're telling a tale. The man like a particular type of dress, and his women to dress a particular type of way, right? And then I always bring it home, you know. Bahamian women likes to dress. I'm not sure if we have a Bahamian woman where their husbands buy the dress. And this particular dress is a Balenciaga. It's like at least $15,000-$20,000. And I'm not sure if I pay you with my church tithes and offering, if you should be buying a $20,000 dress. That money ain't for that. I mean, I paid you to preach. But no, man, that's a saintly type money. My money ain't for that. You can buy a house with that, but you can't be buying your wife to $15,000 dress and thing and think I could be smiling. So good morning, CA. In all of my lifetime, I have never seen a real true Christian. Never. And that's subjective, no. Right? Because people question our Lord and Savior whether he's a good Jew, right? They said, no. This boy right here, he's be hanging with prostitutes and street moneylenders and whatever it is. He can't be no good Jew. So I appreciate what you're saying, but people could read that another way and say, man, even our Lord was chastised and criticized, and we know that he was God, right? So good day. When Yahweh created Adam and Eve, were they made with clothes? If you want, dress naked. I say dress naked, but I is the person who is look at you and point. So if you won't dress naked by around me, note that I can look. And if in some way looking like it's supposed to look, I can laugh. And I can laugh loud. But you can go naked. I mean, I ain't gonna judge you much. So it's good morning. Happy New Year, CA. I love the idea of one group start on bay, for example. Odd numbers start on bay. And even start on Shirley Street. You know, this text has given an example of how we can improve Junkanoo. They're suggesting that perhaps we should have one major group start on Bay Street and the other major group start on Shirley Street, and they go that full circle and enter in back and forth, and perhaps this can speed up the delay, right? And it's something we need to interrogate and practice and see what it is. Because come Boxing Day 2026, we can't be going through the same thing again and again. And it does seem like we're going through the same thing. So the problem is not necessarily the management of the parade. The problem is the Junkanoo just believe they own everything. And if they say they ain't moving now, whatever penalty you give out, they still ain't moving. You take off the 1 point and we move forward. Right? Perhaps we need to get maybe stricter penalties, right? Or something that way. It says, good day, I looking too. Just help with the dress, right? And if you don't want me to see, hide. And I always have that issue, right? as men and not being a sexual pervert, right? You can't be staring at women too hard. When I was a training instructor in tourism, right, I told the young persons who come in, they were 16, just recent graduates, 16 to 21, that as men, if whatever you can't see in that first glance, you're not supposed to turn back and look at all. And because they were saying that it's their eyes and they could give commentary, you know, young tourist professionals, right? And I said, no, you make women uncomfortable if you stare, right? They walk in approaching you, as they pass you, you could see, but you can't turn back around. And that's something we need to teach our young tourism professionals too. So they won't be what I call exploiting, staring, making women feel uncomfortable whilst they walk around. But I hear you, Texter. So this text says, I never understood why they dress naked and get mad at you for looking. Because you weren't supposed to be staring because now they feel unsafe, right? I understand they're being provocative, but it's not our job to make them feel uncomfortable, right? And we men tend to do that. We go too far, right? Say, CA, I see you call. I come to you right now. Say, CA, you're killing me. Laugh out loud. Did you say the dress was Balenciaga? Yes, that's what it is. The South African traffickers of the world would be very happy if it was made by them. Come as you are doesn't mean that you stay as you are, like you said. He wrong for wanting other men to lust after his good wife. Keep that in the bedroom. The man has a good-looking wife. I mean, I've seen her, and I say, man, yeah, she pleasing to the eye, you know. And as a head of a church, and his first lady could be a model, the man want to show that off, let people know that he get this. No, she ain't average at all, right? So this one say, agreed, first glance, have to count. Laugh out loud. Let's go to the caller. Guide Radio AM, you're live. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Nui.
How you doing, 52?
Quite provocative. I mean, quite provocative, talkative, right? I think I ain't. But, you know, the story, the allegory. Now, listen, this is very simple, you know. I mean, everybody's different, right? But to be distracted about a dress and who's spiritually in a mess, right? It shouldn't be a contest. I'll give you a quick story. Everybody is spiritually different. Like I said, I'm not a saint, but I was a story. I had a female friend. I would have been in my 30s. So we met at the fish fry one night, right, CA?
Mm-hmm.
And she had on, she was with another friend. And when I saw her, she came out with a Jeep. She was wearing like a see-through veil, and it was like a panties underneath. Basically, she was practically naked. So she grabbed my hand, and I yucked my hand. I said, you guys are clowning. You see what they're saying? So that's, for me, to walk with her like that, it's like I's a clown. See, I don't know if she like, I don't have a problem with women being sexy. And like the text, if you dress in a provocative manner and somebody's staring, but you should be, as an adult, you should be civilized enough. You could take a good look. A woman shaped different ways. And we not be, as men, we don't want to be realistic about the person said staring at a woman makes them uncomfortable. It also makes us uncomfortable because we have something in our pants. So it is uncomfortable because I don't need everywhere I go to be tempted or to be lusting, because you would lust, whether you lust once, twice, or whatever. Women look different, and you would look at them and like them.
One would assume that church would be a safe space where I don't have to look at women and feel that, oh God, she looks sexy, and instead of talking about
it. It would be a safe place, when we remember the Eddie Long story, right? So a church, I don't belong because of Eddie Long. I can't, you see, what I'm saying is, You talk about the tight pants. The church, there are many wolf and sheep clothing we don't want to admit. But, you know, it is what it is. I see visibly with my own eyes, right? A lot of men of alternative lifestyle hiding behind the church, wolf and sheep clothing. And so, for me personally, you know, I have to be there with my children. The world has changed. You're spiritually called the mange. That's just where I see life. I can't, if I'm cynical, I'm sorry, but I go by what I observe, not mouth. And so, nobody owns the Almighty God. Our minds have all been raped. When it comes to religion and God concepts, you know, the word Adam means both male and female. The text said, they say, come as you are, right? But then that's obviously in a context because I can't come bald. I don't feel comfortable being naked. So what I'm saying is that's after I sin. I mean, was aware that I'm naked. So why would I want to be naked? It creates and it promotes filthiness. It you know, see, immorality, even though these are human constructs. But it's because we are being civilized and we see through a certain eyes. That's just the way life is. We must accept what it is. Everybody looks at somebody and likes somebody. You know, all my life, even in high school, I've had very attractive females, and people have been paying attention to you because of them. So maybe the pastor feels that way, but he's not spiritually strong yet. And so there are many Eddie Longs sitting in these churches. When I went to church, I could show you some things that happened, and we, you know, little freshness are going on in the church, and we all denying these things, but it is Sunday school, whatever it is. We just have to be real with ourselves. But you need to listen to Anku, because, you know, the spiritual context of the Negro mind is it isn't where it should be. Kip, thanks.
Thank you very much, 52. One would assume that because of the church history, that Pastor Brand would try harder, make sure he not even know appearance of anything untoward. This texter says, Reverend Brand missed the point. His petty and borderline womanly insults. Why do you always make women seem to be diminishing women? Like, what do you mean by womanly insults? Anyway, his petty and borderline womanly insults were not a good representation of God. People were shocked because there is an expectation of modesty for a woman of God. To not stir lust, to not look worldly. There is also an expectation of him as a pastor to conduct himself and respond as Jesus would. What would Jesus do or have done, or how would he have responded in this scenario? Did she represent God in distress? Is this the example you want to set for the First Lady? This is deeper than representing Pastor Jamal. This is representing God. I hear you, Texter. I hear you. And, well, you know, the man is the head of the church, so definitely she was representing him. He already said, the good pastor, already said he bought that. He wanted his wife to be sexy. To be sexy amongst his friends and his colleagues, right? To draw attention. And like I said, this particular dress with the sequins drew attention to a midriff. I think that's what they used to call it. And if I can say it on the radio, the nether regions, right? The dress, when you look at the dress, that's where you stare at. And I think Christian people might... No, I don't think that. I was going to say it could pass, but no. No matter how much I try, Mr. Brian just seemed very secular. He just seemed secular. I know a number of behemoths follow him. A number of behemoths who stay at home and duck church have him as their personal pastor. I know he come to the Bahamas and preach, and people view him as a man of God. I think there is Christian concepts and precepts there, but this explanation, and some mind you, he has been critiqued and criticized before. I remember there was a criticism with a child. I can leave it there because we all fall short and fall for the glory of God. But when you're seeing that it's constant, we say, man, we start questioning and say, man, I appreciate what you're saying, you know, but, you know, no. This texter says, the dress definitely screams woman of God. This dress definitely does not scream woman of God accompanying her pastor husband to a public event. I'm looking at the dress again. It's a nice dress. It's very sexy. And I'm thinking, would I want my wife dressed like that? And I said, man, that draw too much attention, man. I personally would feel uncomfortable as a secular man. Because say, no. I don't want that man staring at you over there. He's looking at you too long. So I'm as a Christian man, and he feels comfortable as other men gawked at his wife. Stare at his wife, lust at his wife, whilst he in her presence, whilst she is in his presence, and as they speak to him, because you know he was important there to the event, they are not looking at him, paying attention to him, right? They staring at her, and he brought distress to have that impact, that effect. What does that say about him, right? And look at the controversy the dress has caused. Was this his intention? Right? Like I said, I don't want to take away from him as say that he's not Christian or not, because who am I to judge, right? He might just be a different type of Christian, right? More flamboyant. I know about flamboyant pastors and stuff like that. But people forgot that they went there as a fundraiser for this black organization. They completely forget the organization altogether and concentrated solely on the dress. Right? You ever go to church and people forget about the pastor, what the pastor preach about, and they start talking about what the ushers them doing and whatever it is? They lost the point. Right? So therefore, there's some kind of sin someplace there, especially if you're not concentrating on God. So this text says, we have bowls parade in the U.S., which are the same concept with huge floats. They seem to move along smoothly, build a Junkanoo village on Gladstone Road with a large museum to store beautiful costumes that can host small tourist groups or students, teaching them the craft or Junkanoo from start to finish, ending with a small rush out for a fee. Of course, the pattern can be pre-arranged, etc. Visitors can build, cut, paste their costume from scratch. That's the business model referring to hosting small groups directly from the ship. I'm not sure if you can bus, or people are willing to be bus that far to Gladstone Road and be back. But I hear you. With the bowls in United States, it's one straight road. Perhaps we can have Junkanoo parade from East Bay Street straight to West Bay Street, stopping at the fish fry. And then there wouldn't be, you know, no constant stopping, like you said, Texter. And that's the difference. It's a one straight road in the United States. The fact that it's a Balenciaga dress says it all. Obviously, this church is trying to go somewhere, but I don't think it's heaven. Maybe outer space. But heaven's supposed to be in outer space, eh? Heaven in outer space? They know about the spaceship that's coming back for us. And he just might be aware. Right? But the previous text, I appreciate your commentary on the possibilities of Junkanoo. And I see that the Ministry of Culture is trying to create a Junkanoo, theatrical concept. Right, become a festival instead of just a parade where there's food, there's drinks, there's themes, Junkanoo art, Junkanoo food concepts. And I'm hoping that it's able to pull it off. You know, the issue with this time, they're saying it's too close to the Boxing Day parade, and they see that they had some friction with it. So they're now trying to put the Junkanoo festival at a different time. So it could be a number of trial and errors, but there is definitely a need to have a Junkanoo festival, and we're moving towards that. What we need now to do is start giving out ideas so the powers that be who are listening can say, okay, we can adopt just one or two in general. Anyway, I didn't run out of time. It's 12 o'clock. Trivago Lang is next after the news. There you go. Okay. We will see you on Monday. Have a wonderful day.